Zipple the snowflake is one old triggered soul with reading glasses sitting on his nose and takes that really blow. Zipple the snowflake deserves a mouthpiece to the face. He says LeBron's the GOAT and Steph will choke. Then he runs to his safe space.
Hey, we gotta be careful here.
He tells us when we speak.
Go to the bathroom during the break and look at yourself. It's already happened already.
He thinks that's too many.
It's already here.
Oh! Zipple the snowflake says words like
mature.
He's a blogger now and an honor too, and also really old.
And he joins us right now on the 42 Degrees The Source Hotline. Steve Zipple, did you know that today you're talking to Josh Peterson and Connor Happer live from Las Vegas, Nevada?
I need to be briefed on this. What is going on?
Well, you know, there's a bath.
We're in a pool, Zipple.
Yeah, we're right next to a pool. It's like 10 feet away from us.
Like a swimming pool?
A swimming pool,
a
indeed.
A swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
Yes, indeed. And we're looking at a 40-foot television.
Oh, my God. What is that? Okay, no, I need to know what. Just pretend like I'm the president. You got to.
This is like Zipple and the Albuquerque truck drivers.
Yeah.
We have to just teach them what's going on.
So we did a contest, Zip, where we gave away a trip for a listener and one other person to come to the Circa Resort and Casino and then to hang out at Stadium Swim and have a cabana. And so we got to go, too.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty sweet.
God, that is incredible.
What a country, huh?
It is incredible.
That is, I mean, you must be having a ball.
You're having a great time.
You're at the pool? When are you coming home?
Saturday.
God, are you sober? I mean, are you legitimately sober right now?
Dude, we are pounding water right now.
I've only had two sips of a strawberry daiquiri, frozen strawberry daiquiri.
Two strawberry daiquiris?
Two sips of a frozen strawberry daiquiri.
Okay, that's fun. Okay, I mean, I'm just going to live a little vicariously. You guys even want to talk about anything other than what you're doing? So Circa, hey, I'm familiar with Circa.
Yeah.
Are they treating you right?
Oh, yeah.
We are VIPs, Zipple.
Yeah, we got to go and check in at a special room that had coffee and water for us for free.
Oh, God, really?
It's a pretty amazing life.
Zipple, you know that song, in the song they go, I believe it's I Hope You Dance, I Hope You Never Lose Your Sense of Wonder. I hope that you never lose your sense of wonder, Zipple.
I don't think I will at this point. It's pretty late to get. I do have quite a sense of wonder about what I'm dealing with here. You guys are in Vegas,
doing
a radio show from nearby a pool for Circus Sports. They're good to the media, those people. That's good. Good job.
They sure are.
Yeah. It's funny, Seth, that you mentioned talking to us because during the break we were wondering aloud to each other, what do we ask Steve Zipple about today? We have lamented that a lot today. Like, what in the world is happening in the world of sports? It seems very quiet, though obviously you're going to disagree with all the Husker stuff that's been going on lately.
I felt like I've been busy, actually. I mean, so, yeah. No, I've been swamped. Are you talking about this? What are we talking about, Josh? Is this some sort of trap you're luring me into?
No, it's not a trap. We're trying to. I mean, there's the Troy Dannon stuff, but I don't know about you. For you, Zipple, like it comes in the shadow of like the Trev leaving story was bigger.
Yeah,
and then it also happens at the same time as the basketball tournament. Nebraska is a big story. I mean, even for just Nebraska fans, but obviously in Omaha too, you have Creighton. And just like every little thing that happened last week, kind of diverted attention from what's going on in Nebraska. Obviously, it's still a big deal that they hired an athletic director and we have to find out about him, but it does feel like its impact has been less punchy in its first week or first few days here.
Yeah, it does. I agree with that. I think it's not only because of what's going on in the immediate. I just think it's what's happened over time. I mean, these coronations have lost the loom. You know, I mean, they happen a lot. I think there's some fatigue that way. I think that Dannon did walk into that sort of situation, not only with what I call this coronation event, but just, I felt it last week, actually. I mean, last week when the news arrived, I thought it was, you know, it was big, but man, we've done this a lot. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think yesterday there was a lot of information and a lot of valuable information that was, you know, it came out in the midst of the event. And I'm glad for that. Grateful for that. And, you know, that's about where it goes for me. I don't know Troy Dannon. I'm not going to make any judgments one way or the other. It was he did a good job. He did do a very good job yesterday at the podium. But we've kind of discovered it doesn't really mean all that much. That's the one thing I'd add. That's not a bad thing. A little healthy cynicism, and if you feel a little halting before you just go all in on these officials and coaches, it's really healthy actually.
Steve Sipple joining us here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct, live on 1620 The Zone. So, Sip, that preamble then to ask this, what is your read on Dan and early on? Obviously, you know, it's funny, for someone who has done only one now traditional press conference, he's oddly spoken to Nebraska's media quite a bit over the last week, just given the teams in the NCAA tournament. I don't know how many chances you've actually had an opportunity to talk directly to him or in the traditional press setting, but what's your early read on him a week into the job?
He's affable, capable, well-schooled in the changing climate, you know, NIL and transfer portal and all that. He's energetic, all that. Josh, I mean, he's going to be that way opening press conference. I mean, the energy thing means nothing to me. I did mention it, but of course he was energetic. More salient is the fact that he does show a grasp of the climate, we'll call it. He understands, and you know what else? He does understand Nebraska. It's not like he never worked here, but he does have friends here. I know some of his friends. He has a legitimate friend. So he has a grasp of this landscape and the Big Ten landscape. He knows how to run a high, you know, big-time university. I like the fact, by the way, that his background has, we'll call it, I guess, diversity, in that he was at Northern Iowa. And then, you know, that's Cedar Falls. And then he went to New Orleans, you know, Tulane. He's been in a lot of different worlds. Then he went to a whole different world in Seattle. Now he's back closer to a world that he probably feels much more comfortable in. And that's good. So all that is, you know, and this is the thing I'd emphasize. He's not a coach. He's an administrator. His job is to make it easier for the coaches. And that's what he spelled out. So we'll just see. I'll see how he is. I think Nebraska just needs a guy who will be, very strong behind the scenes, but very willing to be present himself in public. It doesn't have to be a tricky equation.
There's always, when Nebraska's hired a new athletic director, Josh and I were talking about this earlier, there's always this immediate plight, and it's you have to fire a coach and you have to hire a new coach, and it's usually football. In that case, like you just said, Dannon doesn't have that, and so I don't know. We were sort of theorizing that it may be more difficult to figure out who he is and what he's all about, because I mean I can remember those early days with Trev. I remember when he showed up to media days before the 2022 season or before the 2021 season when he just got there. And everyone wanted to talk to him because he just wanted to get the initial thoughts on what he thought of Frost, right? there is none of that right now because it doesn't like it wouldn't really matter because we know that Matt Rhule's not going anywhere for the time being. So like what is Troy Dannon's plight right now, and how long do you think it takes before we really come to understand what he's all about?
Well, I mean, we're gonna understand a little bit, Connor, when we figure out what he's gonna do with this stadium renovation project. We'll learn a lot about it there. Why would I say that? Because it's not like, first of all, you'll learn about his willingness to work with others, because it's not like, I kind of presented it this way, and it was probably a little inaccurate. It's not like he's going to come in and just make a unilateral decision on that. You know, there's a lot of people that have been involved in the planning of that. Donors, a lot of people for 2.5 years. And so he has a meeting tomorrow with the key players. And how's that going to go? What's that going to look like? I mean, I'd love to be in that meeting just to see what it's like. I mean, you've got a lot of people who've invested a lot of time and energy and money into this. And tomorrow's critical. The new AD is going to hear what it's all about and probably not. I don't think he'll make a decision on anything tomorrow, but he'll, you know, that'll be his initial foray into this, and how he comes out of that will be interesting. So I think how he handles this renovation topic will be informative. But yeah, he doesn't have to fire anybody. I actually think we do get a sense of what kind of guy he is just knowing Rhule. They're compatible. So that tells you about a little bit about him, I think. I think you'd agree that just what you've seen from Dan and so far, you can see why he would be compatible with Rhule. You see examples of people in this world who you immediately say, oh, I don't know if they'll be compatible. I don't know if that'll work. This isn't a case where I think you'd look at it and say, yeah, I absolutely can see why they're compatible. So that's informative. But as far as meaningful judgments of him, I'm not even looking to meaningfully judge him.
Right.
So early, and, you know, I just hope he's a guy who comes in and does his job and makes good, sound decisions. And the one thing we know is to not take for granted that that's going to happen. So I'm not going to pretend like it's a given. I've done that before in my career. I'm not doing it anymore. We've seen some awful ADs here. I mean, one in particular. And you just never know what you're getting, really. So I'm not judging him one way or the other.
Steve Sipple joining us on Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Sip, looking back to last week in the end of the basketball season, missed opportunity, you think, for the program? Or did perhaps those of us who thought Nebraska was going to get by A&M, did we just really underestimate that competition level that they were going to play?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody, Josh, but I know I didn't size that game up well at all. It's embarrassing to talk about. I think I predicted 67-60 Nebraska. I mean, just didn't read it at all. I didn't, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I would have went back and tried to watch A&M, at least a game, you know, maybe a game in December, a game in January, a game in February, and a game in March, just to see how they're evolving. Because they evolve. If you look at their numbers, which we did, you did, I did, they are a terrible shooting team statistically. I think they shot 28.4% from the three-point line for the season. 28.4. They shot 39.9% from the field. Bad shooting team. That's what it suggests. But in the last 5-6 games, they made a lineup change. I can't say the name of the guy. His first name is Manny. Starts with an O. He had the last 16 points, I think, in the first half the other day. Put him in the lineup. That has proven beneficial. But they just heated up. They're a much different team than they were in January, and probably most of February.
Sipple,
Obiseki in the lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been different. it's been more than him, but a lot of that is that. And I didn't watch him enough to know that they were that much more athletic than Nebraska. I think they took a chance, and it worked with their very aggressive double teams of math. I mean, I was skeptical when they were doing it. I was like, all right, well, but Nebraska will figure this out. And I think they did kind of figure it out, but they had a player miss some shots at the rim. And I think A&M did it. I mean, the double team on Mass was gigantic. It was a gigantic decision to take Mass out of the game. And it was risky because he's a good passer out of double teams, but they made it work to a high level. I just misread the game so badly that all I can do is learn from it next time. Try to get a better handle on the opponent.
Yeah, I felt like there was definitely a little bit of a misread on their part. At the same time, I didn't expect them to shoot it the way they did.
No.
I think from Nebraska's standpoint, Sipple, like, I thought they – like, have you considered the idea that maybe the moment got a little big for them? Like, they just got – they got willingly sped up in that game in a way that we hadn't seen in a while. And maybe that's because of some weaker competition that they mowed down in February. We felt really good about that team going into that game, even with the second-half performance against Illinois. But I felt like they got maybe swept up in it a little bit. Like, what is your thought on that?
Yeah, I think A&M sped them up. I think that athleticism, the athleticism of A&M did cause discomfort for sure. And that can happen. The A&M was much more athletic than I would have thought. Again, I wish I would have watched him a little closer. Nebraska didn't play teams like that in the Big Ten.
No.
I mean, I'd have to think back a little bit. No, they really there's not too much of that in the Big Ten. It's a different look A&M presents. Now, again, A&M guys, if you look back at their schedule, that's four or five games where they were in the regular season scoring 50 points, 55, 56, 59, 51. So that wasn't the team that a lot of people saw during the season. So I keep saying I wish I would have watched them. Well, I don't even know how informative it had been. It changed. Then they got into March, and the last two games before they played Nebraska, they scored 97 and 90. So like I said, maybe we should have seen it coming. Maybe we should have known how athletic A&M was. But, Connor, I don't think it was the moment so much as A&M. I don't think that playing in Memphis in front of a big Nebraska crowd was daunting. I think it was A&M that was daunting. And that all that speed. I mean, when you brought in Wilcher and Hoiberg, they hadn't seen guys like that. And not very often, anyway. So I think it was that. Wilcher, you know, he's good. I love him. He's a great shooter, but, man, he doesn't move laterally well. And against a team like A&M, if you don't move laterally well, you're just going to be in trouble.
Sound like Rick Pitino, Sipple, calling out all his players for not moving laterally. Did you hear that?
I did hear Pitino. I'm a big Pitino fan, so I always seek out what Pitino does. Pitino was there, by the way. He was watching Richard, his son.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Who now? Did I see right that he might be going to Louisville?
No, Louisville filled their opening with a guy you'd never heard of today.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, the news cycle moves fast these days.
Who is that?
I forget the name of him already. I don't even know. I don't have my computer in front of me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Sip, before we...
We're in Vegas.
Yeah,
Sipple.
Exactly. Hey, before we leave, along those lines, so tomorrow... when we're doing the Connor Happer portion of the show.
Pat Kelsey.
Thank you very much, Nick. Josh Ottson is going to do his top five for top five Vegas movies. What is your favorite Las Vegas movie, Sipple?
Las Vegas. Leaving Las Vegas is easily my favorite movie. It's Elizabeth Shue. I think her name is Shue. And the name of the actor always escapes me, but
Nicolas Cage?
The storyline is this actor, Francis Ford Coppola's, like, grandson or relation. Come on, help me out. He was in all the car thief movies. Anyway, he's drinking himself to death. And it's a fascinating, it's not, it's not particularly, I mean, it's not family friendly and it's not a feel-good story, but it's fascinating. I mean, the plot is he's drinking himself to death in Vegas. And there's a
who
lot of
Josh, did we figure out who it was?
Nicolas Cage is in that movie.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. I couldn't, for some reason, Sipple, I was mixing this one up with the Johnny Depp one, which is based off of, who was the writer who did Gonzo Journalism back in the day?
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing. That's what I was thinking of.
I'm sorry, Sip, did you say Nick Cage is the one in all the car movies?
No, I said he's in all the cars. I like those movies where he's stealing cars.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, those types.
That's called National Treasure. He steals the Declaration of Independence.
Famously not a car.
At any rate,
gone
that's
in 60
a fabulous
seconds. I know
Vegas
what you're talking
movie.
About, Sipple.
Another Nick Cage Vegas movie.
Hunter S. Thompson, by the way. That's the guy I was thinking of.
Oh, there you go.
R.I.P.
Another Nick Cage Vegas movie, kind of Vegas movie.
Yeah.
Con Air. Mm. They land the jailbird on the Vegas Strip.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, that's a movie. Sipple, I bet you love that movie.
I've seen some of it. I have not watched it in totality, but it does look good. Cage is in that too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
I think Cage is in that movie. Anyway, that movie I would highly suggest. It was beautifully done. Beautifully done.
All right. We'll make note of it.
Well, Sip, thank you for joining us. I'll be on with Connor on his show on Friday, so we'll talk to you in two more days.
Oh, my God.
We'll still be here.
Yeah, we'll be doing 7 hours of radio each of the next 2 days, live from sunny Las Vegas.
I got to hear some. Yeah, let me know.
Go ahead.
I want to hear some stories from Vegas, all right?
Yeah, we got them.
We'll bring them to you.
Bye, Sipple.
Thank you, Sip.
All right, see you later.
All right, that is Steve Sipple of HuskerOnline.com, a part of the On3 Network. He was pumped for us.
He was.
He was
that
very,
was a real, genuine reaction.
He was very, very excited for us. Yeah.
That was a real, genuine reaction. I love that. It's you know, Sipple and I think, have had a father-son relationship for a long time.
Many years, yeah.
It's nice to hear Dad proud of me.
Yeah, you know.
He
should be.
Daddy Sipple.
It's fun knowing Sipple when you're, like, in college, and then as you continue to move throughout your career. Like, I interned, and that's how I met Sipple. I was an intern. And he was, no offense to any other fill-ins, he was the nicest of all the fill-ins back in the summer of 2011.
That is the calling card of Stephen M. Sipple.
Sipple was super nice to me when I was part-time. I'll never forget my first core memory of Sipple, which was talking about Josh's divorce.
Thank you,
Sipple.
Yeah, he told the world.
If there's a new guy who walks in the media room and whatever for the first time, Sipple will want to hear the story.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome.
Who are you? What's going on with your life?
Like, what a great guy.
What are you interested in? That's why he's the godfather.
By the way, Michael Severe says Nebraska fans were really drinking the Kool-Aid for the basketball program, which had to be a first.
I agree that there was a there was a misread. I don't think it was.
We also didn't expect them to make a billion threes.
Yes, I agree that there was a misread. I don't know if it was as severe, hilariously, coincidentally, severe.
Michael.
As Sipple explained it to be. Like, I think Nebraska is partially responsible for what happened to them on Friday. I don't think it was all
you
Texas
about,
A&M is overwhelming
yeah,
them
about
with everything.
Up. Like, it got to a point where it was almost like they were shooting every shot to try to make up for the 10-point deficit, the 12-point deficit.
Like,
is this shot worth 10 points?
Yeah,
no.
There's no 15-point shot out there. You got to like do something to slow it down. They just got really, really sped up. And I don't know if that was the moment, but I was kind of, you know, that's why I asked Sipple. Like, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but they clearly got swept up in that part of the game. And then when you add in the lack of athleticism that they just, I mean, Sipple's right about that. They just didn't have that, especially when you compare them to Texas A&M. That's a lethal combination. But I'll remind you that Nebraska was, you know, doing some hot shooting themselves, and they were up 20-13 in that game.
Correct.
So, I mean, I my thing would have been, you know, midway through that first half, they're making everything, like, let's slow down, let's take a deep breath here, and let's figure some things out. And I just think Nebraska just, like, willingly dove further into the pool.
Nice.
Of Texas A&M.
Great reference. By the way, High Point could use a 15-point shot right
this
now.
This is one of the worst basketball games I have ever seen.
See, I told you. College now, basketball, bad sport. I told you.
I have a lot of respect for Al Huss and what he's done at High Point this year. It's a shame that High Point didn't get an automatic bid to the NIT because they won their conference this year. It's a shame.
And now they're down 11-3.
And they're in the RO college basketball invitation. This is the CBI.
It's the CBI.
This
is terrible.
The CBI final.
Yeah, it's
and they're down 11-3 to Seattle a whole 7 minutes into the game.
I don't like that their name is High Point because that reminds me of a swimming pool I used to go to in North Omaha as a youngster.
Oh.
High Point Swimming Pool. It was on North 39th Street.
Do you know where High Point is located as a university?
East Coast.
Nick, what do you think? High Point, where are they at?
Seems like a North Carolina kind of thing.
You got it. North Carolina.
Oh.
Nick Grimm of sports.
He knows ball these days.
He does know
ball.
Speaking of Nick, a text coming into the text line, 402-951-1620. Did Nick scare everyone away? The pool looks empty on the stream. They're to the left and to the right of us right now here at the cabanas. God, that water looks amazing.
Did anybody have a comment on anything that happened?
Well, oh, yeah, Nick, any comments on the stream?
No.
Okay, no comments.
Interesting.
I was wondering as well.
Just pay close attention to the stream.
People were really caught up on Sip's Con Air and Nick Cage conversation.
Ah, yeah, Sip was just arguing with himself.
I can't believe that he's never seen Con Air.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Headley says Con Air, isn't that a brand of hairdryer?
Is it?
It is. It is.
Okay.
It is.
I'm not of hair dryers.
I am not either, but I know that.
I do have hair, though.
I do love Con Air. I don't know if you can technically call it a Vegas movie. There's only about one scene that takes place in Vegas.
Con Air?
Yes. But I would like to have it included in any of the conversations we have because I just like talking about the movie a lot.
Josh Hodson has put out his honorable mention list for his top five Vegas movies. Honorable mentions. Swingers.
Whoa.
Oh.
Didn't make the five?
Mars Attacks.
I've never seen that.
Over the Top. Something called Leprechaun 3.
Is Over the Top a Vegas movie?
Mars
Just
Attacks
because they do the arm wrestling competition in Vegas and he has to drive the truck there?
Diamonds Are Forever. Leaving Las Vegas. Simple's favorite
That's
movie.
Simples.
And Showgirls.
I didn't realize Mars Attacks was a Vegas movie.
Mm.
Like, does it just take place in Vegas?
Famously not in this list, Dodgeball. Which happens in Las Vegas.
I was just about to say, do we count Dodgeball?
I mean, that's
a Vegas movie.
I think it's a Vegas movie.
It's a Vegas movie as much as Con Air is.
There
you go. That's for sure.
Or Mars Attacks.
So stay tuned for tomorrow's edition of the Connor Happer Show when A, will get his top five, and B, will be wearing swimsuits.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm actually more excited about the swimsuits than I am about the top five.
Are we
going
full nips out tomorrow?
Yeah, there's going to be some nipples on Zone TV.
Oh, right. So you're going to be...
We'll call it the odd boobs.
Nice.
Instead of the odd news.
You're going to be swimsuit and then Bobby Witt jersey?
Yeah. Yeah. No shirt underneath.
Nice.
So I'm going to have a weird sunburn.
David says, thoughts on Swingers. I like Swingers. I need to rewatch Swingers.
Is a great
movie or the concept, like the type of people?
The movie.
Okay. Good question, Nick. But
your
the
money,
movie.
Baby.
You know, I when I watched it, I was younger. I feel like, and well, this is going to be a theme of our conversation with The Hangover. The Hangover landed in a much different way for me as someone in my mid-30s versus when I saw it as a 20-year-old.
And I'd probably seen it two or three times, you know, I saw it probably 100 times when it came out. But then, like,
since
2013, I've probably seen it two or three times.
Same.
And this time it did hit differently for me.
Agreed.
I thought different people and different things were funny this
me
time.
Me too. I can't wait to talk about it. Also, I've never seen Swingers. I don't know anything about it.
Wow.
I don't know what Swingers
Vegas,
is.
Baby. Vegas!
Vegas, baby. That's where that
I've
phrase
heard
was
that,
originated.
I've heard that drop.
There is the most uncomfortable phone call of all time in Swingers. Because it's not a phone call.
Oh, it's a voicemail.
It's a voicemail.
Boy.
That's tough.
On the answering machine. Remember answering machines?
Nick, do you remember answering machines?
Yes. That was at the tail end of me.
Of me?
Of me.
Of me transitioning to an adult.
Oh.
Okay.
The Zoomers are in a weird place. We had all this technology you had, but then we had our technology.
It's amazing on Seinfeld. They,
great show.
Every episode prominently featured an answering machine.
It does, yes.
It was very important that the answering machine was there.
Yep.
It was either George's answering machine.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home.
And then you know.
Great stuff.
Various times where they're not able to get to the phone in time. They leave a message. You could hear it. Remember those days where you could hear it out loud? It would play over a speaker.
I know you're listening right now.
That'd be like
I know you're at home right now.
That'd be like your Alexa just saying all of your public stuff out loud.
Do you think – is Seinfeld one of those shows that would have benefited from everybody having a cell phone?
No, it would get worse.
No, that show would be canceled if it had a cell phone.
A lot of
wouldn't work.
Yeah, a lot of the great episodes, like the parking garage, your phone would just remember where you parked.
Yeah.
The Chinese restaurant, you wouldn't have to deal with it.
Reservations for cars and things of that nature.
But instead, thankfully, it was made in the 90s.
Seinfeld is so unfunny that it doesn't
hold
up.
No, you settle down, Nick. When we return, a start of a new segment on the show, Nick watches a famous sports clip and gives us his reaction.
I can't wait till this one.
Yeah.
I've got it queued up.
It's going to be brand new. We'll unveil it next. I actually think that this would be a great new bit to just do all the time.
Summer.
But I don't know how the – oh, it came up because – well, we'll explain it.
There's
when we
a
return.
News item today
there was
that
a
involves
news item
this person.
That it's not a problematic news item, thankfully.
No, we're not
talking Jacksonville. We're not saying, hey, watch Mark Brunell throw a touchdown pass. That wouldn't be fun for anybody. We are here at the Stadium Swim in Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino having an absolute blast. This place is starting to fill up. I was wondering what it would be like as we get closer and closer to the evening. And tomorrow at this time, we'll be an hour and a half away from basketball.
Do we get access to the cabana all evening long?
Great question.
I would like to just kind of post up here and
chill
out.
Yeah.
Great question.
I don't know.
We'll
talk to our guy.
We'll have to indeed ask our dear friend, Aaron. Nick watches a very famous sports clip when we return. Also, dumb debates. Get your dumb debates questions in, and we will dive into those in about 25 minutes. It is Unsportsmanlike Conduct live from Circa Resort and Casino here on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.